Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined, as always, by my co-host, Aaron Murray. Aaron, it's week 7 during the college football season, and we have a great slate of games for this weekend specifically. I know I always say that, but this one is for real. Follow us along on social media. We are at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. Aaron is at AaronMurray11, and I am at DrewButler13. Aaron, I went to the Georgia game last weekend. I was rocking my DGD Imperial dad hat. Got a lot of messages about where people can get it. It is still on ImperialSports.com. Check out the collaboration tab. You can get all of your Punt and Pass gear right there. We, of course, are going to talk about the biggest games of the weekend for Week 7, and we're also going to give you the Ray Guy Award Punter of the Week and the Davey O'Brien Award Quarterback of the Week, just like we always do right here on the Punt and Pass Podcast. Aaron, I talked to you earlier today, and you know that I love discussing juicy storylines around college football. There's really just not much going on around the world of college football that you and I could debate about. The Kelly Bryant story, unfortunately, has died down.
And, has it?
I think so.
I was about to say, maybe you want to continue to dive into that one.
No, I think we can just go straight into the games. And lucky for you and I, we get to talk about Georgia at length this week because, quite frankly, the Dogs have taken care of business in a very mundane manner so far in the 2018 season. They are, of course, 6-0, and they have been blowing out pretty much every single team that they have played against. But this weekend, they travel to LSU. LSU was the number 5 ranked team in the nation just a week ago. They lost to the Florida Gators on the road. So Georgia travels to Baton Rouge. This is the 3:30 p.m. game, SEC on CBS. Number 2 Georgia at now number 13 LSU. This is a great matchup. Let's dive right into it, Aaron. What are you thinking off the bat?
All right, this is going to be an incredible football game. Listen, we know LSU obviously coming off a tough loss to Florida last week, but they didn't play bad. I mean, you're talking about an LSU team, great defense, great at all levels, defensive line, they're big, they're physical. I mean, we saw it from day one, game one versus Miami. You're like, man, this team is stout up front. Linebackers, we know what they can do, and then obviously a very talented secondary. So this is going to be a tough task, and then you throw in the fact that it's going to be noisy as hell in that stadium. So the one issue for LSU last week versus Florida, could they get after Felipe Franks? They couldn't. Felipe Franks had all day in the pocket. He actually looked like a decent quarterback for Florida. Now you're at home. It's noisy. You're going to get the jump as a defensive line. So I think that's going to help this LSU defense. Like I said, it's very good, but they're missing that X factor at the defensive line of being able to get after a quarterback. So if they can get after Fromm early, they could stuff the run game, force it to third and long, and then get that crowd involved. This could be an interesting game. I think it could be close. I think it's a 7.5-point spread. I'm just going to let you know right now, I'm taking LSU with that 7.5.
Oh, wow.
I think this is a game that Georgia wins by 3 to 7 points. I think, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're going into a hostile environment against a very good football team, and it's going to be a grinded out kind of battle. And I think Georgia's proven, obviously, they can win on the road in hostile environments. They went in and beat South Carolina. But this LSU team, they've proven they are better than South Carolina this year. They're better defensively, offensively. That's the question mark. I don't hate Burrow. I think Burrow has shown maturity in this offense, his understanding, and I think he's shown the ability to make passes at an elite level. It's more the consistency level. And then obviously the receivers have to catch the dang ball. You saw it last week versus Florida. ended that game, a couple of costly drops that hindered their ability to make that comeback. So this could be a very, very good game. And obviously it means a lot for both teams' SEC play.
It really does. It means a ton. And Georgia, I wish LSU, and this is me talking subjectively, I wish LSU would have won last week. Therefore, they're riding high. The fan base would have been absolutely ecstatic. They still will be. Don't get me wrong. But with them losing to Florida last week, they're trying to regroup in Red Stick right now. They are trying to make sure that they are ready to rock and roll. Georgia, the number two team in the nation, is coming in. They are undefeated. And LSU still has a lot to play for in the SEC. Yes, their backs are up against the wall now, but they cannot afford to drop another conference game. So I feel like their focus has been zoomed into exactly this weekend. So will Georgia be able to put up with that first punch that LSU swings at them? I think yes. And Aaron, what do you think, as a former Georgia quarterback, as a starting quarterback? I know you never really had a backup breathing down your neck or that two-quarterback system, but my thought process goes directly to Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. If LSU were to get 2 3-and-outs in a row, and Georgia's very conservative in their play calls, say run, run, pass, punt, you know, screen, play action, and then a draw to a third down, and then punt again. Do you throw Fields in on the third drive in crazy Tiger Stadium?
I think this is the game you keep your veteran quarterback in. And also, I think this is the game that finally Fromm is going to get some recognition. It's amazing that you have a quarterback who's thrown for 12 touchdowns, 2 picks. Was he, you know, low 70s completion percentage? No one's talking about him. No one is talking about Fromm, but it goes to the fact that Georgia just really hasn't had any really exciting games. You know, no one's really tuning in, unless you're a Georgia fan, to watch Georgia play. It's just that's the nature of the beast right now. People are going to watch this game, and they're going to finally get to see this kid is for real. This kid is a great quarterback. He's a great football player. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And we all know it. Jake Fromm does not shy away from these atmospheres. He does not shy away from when the spotlight's the biggest. He did a phenomenal job in the SEC championship game, in conference play last year, in the playoffs, and then it started the season this year against South Carolina, a tough game on the road. Like I said, the light is never too bright for Jake Fromm. So I'm excited to see him out there today, this weekend. I think he's the X factor. I think he's going to go out there and have a tremendous day. But unless there's specific packages, maybe, you know, within the five, you know, plus 5 yard line in the red zone, maybe bring Fields in. But I got to go with my ace, and that's Jake Fromm.
I don't think Chaney will have Fields scripted in that first 15 plays. I think you got to trust your ace, like you just said, Aaron. Fromm is battle-tested on the road. He's battle-tested in big-time games against huge big-time defenses, which, of course, LSU has. So I think, and I have it written down right here in our show email, I've got some groundbreaking analysis for everybody in Punt and Pass Nation. Georgia needs to establish the run and stop the run. That's how they're going to win this game, Aaron. You can't go anywhere else for analysis that deep. But it's that simple to me, right? They're going to try to get first downs on the ground, take the fan base out of it, and then make sure and make Joe Burrow try to beat them. Make sure to take LSU's rushing offense out of the game and make Joe Burrow beat them. Because I'll tell you right now, and this is objective, Joe Burrow cannot beat Georgia's defense. When they lost their 2 games last year, Stidham for Auburn and Kerryon Johnson absolutely terrorized them. And then in the second half of the national championship game, Tua Tagovailoa took over. So I think Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker are heading into this game saying we've got to marginalize LSU's rushing offense and we have got to make Joe Burrow try to beat us. Because if you look at Georgia's scoring defense, they're number two in the nation right now. They're also very opportunistic. They get turnovers and they score off those turnovers. Georgia's offense, for whatever reason, and you just mentioned it, Fromm's elite. They're playing at a very high level. They're scoring more than 40 points per game. For whatever reason, people aren't giving them that kind of credit. But Georgia has a good offense. But I think the defense steps up big time in this game, much like they did in Columbia against South Carolina. And then, my favorite, the X factor, the special teams. I mean, you got to count on Rodrigo. You got Mecole Hardman back there returning kicks. Georgia is going to cover this game, Aaron, and we have our first disagreement of week 7. I'll lay the 7.5 points. You are saying Georgia's going to win, but it'll be a bit of a tighter margin. Man, a little birdie on my shoulder right here is telling me this is exactly the type of mentalities that you and I were both having with that Georgia-South Carolina game. I think Georgia matches up really well against LSU, and I think that this one may not even be that close.
Listen, but the issue is that was so early in the season,
yes.
And we've seen the flaws of South Carolina since that Georgia game. I mean, Georgia really exposed them, and we've seen it weeks afterwards, where we've seen enough of LSU football to know that this team is pretty good. We've seen it. I mean, we've seen it for 6 weeks now. So I think the sample size is a lot bigger than what we were heading to for that South Carolina game. And obviously, all things were clicking for Georgia that week versus Carolina. This is different, though. It really is. I think this LSU team has a tremendous mindset of we are dominant. And I think they're desperate, too, though. You look at their schedule going forward, LSU – they have to win this football game because you turn around, you got to play Mississippi State, and then you got to play Alabama back-to-back week. So you got Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, and all of a sudden you could be looking at a Tiger team. If you lose those three, that's all of a sudden 5-4. You know, so they got to get the train rolling again. So I think they're going to come out desperate, understanding what lies ahead of them after this football game.
Absolutely. And I do think that if it is tight, like you said, Georgia will have turned the ball over or won't be able to get it going offensively. LSU will be running down Georgia's throats, and that defensive line for the Dogs a little bit thin right now. They're going to have to make some guys and rely on some guys to step up and have an impact. But again, if it is close, Aaron, you will be correct because I do think Georgia still wins. It'll be a closer game, and you go back to special teams. You go back to a guy like Rodrigo Blankenship and a return man like Mecole Hardman. Those guys will be the X factor this week. Again, it'll be a great game regardless. So to recap, Aaron takes the points, the 7.5, but says Georgia wins close. I think it'll be a 2-score game. I think Georgia will win by 13 to 17 points. So lay the 7.5. And again, it's going to come down to special teams. Either way, either they cover because of a return or they win because of a field goal. And I love talking about special teams, which brings me, Aaron, to the Ray Guy Award Punter of the Week for Week 7, and it's none other than Braden Mann. Braden Mann had an absolutely phenomenal game against Kentucky last weekend. Aaron, he had 5 punts for a 59.6 yard per punt average. He netted 51.4 yards per punt, 2 inside the 20.
Sounds like Drew Butler out there.
50 and a long.
Sounds like my boy Drew Butler's punting again.
82, a long of 82 yards. I just listened to your national show on SEC SiriusXM Radio, and Jimbo Fisher was gushing about this guy. Jimbo Fisher came out and said, yes, football has evolved. The game has grown tremendously since his early days at Florida State and even LSU, but he pointed specifically to how much better kickers and punters are, and he's got one of the best in the nation. This kid, Braden Mann, at Texas A&M, Aaron, is leading the nation in punts and yards per punt at 54.9 yards per punt. He's trying to break my record. Maybe I'll be presenting him the Ray Guy Award later on in the season if he keeps it up. But congratulations to Braden Mann, your Week 6 Ray Guy Award Punter of the Week. Aaron, who's the Davey O'Brien Award Quarterback of the Week?
Let's talk about a kid who just had a tremendous game against a huge rival, national TV, and he's bringing Texas back, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Ellinger just had a tremendous day, 24-35, 314, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and 3 big touchdown runs. Even when Oklahoma knew the quarterback, what was it, power, draw, whatever it was, zone, he did it all with his legs, with his arms, and 5 total touchdowns. Like I said, in a big game, knocking Oklahoma out, outshining the Heisman contender, and Kyler Murray, who did himself, had a tremendous day, and was on the list of finalists for this week, but good job, Sam. Good job, Sam.
Yeah, no doubt.
Bringing Texas back. Hook 'em, baby.
I know. It's 2 great performances, both in the Lone Star State. So congratulations, Braden Mann, Ray Guy Award, Punter of the Week for Week 6. And Sam Ellinger, your
Week
6.
Who's the kicker of the week? If we had a kicker of the week, Dicker the Kicker, baby.
Dicker the Kicker, that's right.
Dicker the Kicker, we're getting shirts.
That's exactly correct. Congrats to Sam Ellinger, Week 6, Davey O'Brien Award, Quarterback of the Week. All right, let's talk about a few more games. Before we keep talking about it, keep in mind, Aaron took LSU with the points, says Georgia's going to win. I take Georgia. I think they're going to cover, win by 13 to 17 points. I'm 16-14 against the spread, Aaron, through 6 weeks. Buddy, you are 10-20. We need some help. We need some help. So go 6-0 this week. Get back on track. Let's make it work. Let's talk about two more games, three more games inside the conference, and then we'll make a few more picks as well. Tennessee going to number 21, Auburn. Auburn is a two-touchdown favorite here. They're 14.5 favorite. Over-under is 47.5. This game's at 12 p.m. on SEC Network. We can just talk quickly about this one, Aaron. I think Tennessee has a real opportunity here to have Jeremy Pruitt hang his hat on his biggest victory as the Volunteers head coach to date. And, man, I just don't like – I don't think anybody likes what they're seeing out of Jarrett Stidham and that Auburn offense. They have looked
simmer
terrible.
Simmer down. It's not Jarrett Stidham, damn it.
Who is it? It's the run game. All right, well, stick up for him then.
They need to use Stidham more. Come on, let him throw the football more. This offense, we keep talking about it, just no identity. What's their best player? Who's their best player? It's Stidham. So find a way to be more creative. One, pass protecting him. But it all starts with the offensive line. The offensive line for Auburn just cannot do anything, creating run lanes, giving Stidham time in the pocket. And I don't care if you have the best running back in the world or the best quarterback in the world. You can't do much if you can't block. It starts with the big five ugly guys up front, and they're just not getting it done right now for Auburn. But you look at Tennessee, though, I know they have a bye week, but I still don't think they're there yet to still compete with Auburn. And this is going to be at home for Auburn. It's going to be noisy. I think they're extremely desperate right now. And I still think even with a offense who doesn't have their identity just yet, or who knows if they ever will this season, I still think that's a better team than Tennessee. So I like Auburn to win the game, but I like Tennessee with the points.
All right, so you're taking the points with Tennessee, and you said something very profound. It's one adage that I certainly agree with. Great coaches adapt to their players. They do not make their players adapt to them. And it seems like Gus Malzahn and Jarrett Stidham, especially this season, are at a crossroads. Gus Malzahn wants to run his offense, and that's usually manned by a mobile quarterback. Now, Jarrett Stidham can get outside the pocket, but he's no Kyler Murray or Cam Newton or Nick Marshall, if you will. If Gus Malzahn was smart, he would spread these guys out, and he would make sure that the offensive line could protect Stidham for at least 3 seconds so he could deliver the football with some accuracy. That's what he does best. He can spin the ball with the best of them in all of college football. So why he hasn't done that yet, man, I have no idea, but I do not like the direction this Auburn team is headed. It's an 11 a.m. local kick in Jordan-Hare Stadium. I'm sticking with Tennessee. I think they went outright, therefore I'll take the points as well. Tennessee plus 15. Watch for that game to be a big-time upset inside Jordan-Hare Stadium at noon. And another game at noon, Aaron, which I had just been thinking about, and I think I might make a crazy pick here, but it's at noon. It's on ESPN. Number 14, Florida, coming off a huge victory against a top-five team in LSU, travels to Nashville. They're playing Vanderbilt. Florida's just a touchdown favorite here. The over-under is 50.5. I think Florida could be in for a big-time setback after a huge victory. Felipe Franks, 11 a.m. local kick. You're the one who says Vandy's tough to play at.
It is tough to play at. It's a high school stadium. It is a tough atmosphere. It's early. It's 11 o'clock game. And you said, I mean, Florida right now is coming off two very emotional wins. Mississippi State, LSU, they put a lot into those games.
Yes.
But you still got to remember who's the head coach of the football team. Dan Mullen, I mean, he knows how to get them right. I like Florida. I like their defense. And 7 points, man, that's
Isn't
crazy.
Isn't that interesting? I know.
That
right?
is
that's
very interesting. Vegas knows something. I tell
do.
You what, Vegas knows something we don't. I got Florida. I got the points. I think they're going to pull it out. I know Vandy been up and down. I know they had that tough game that they made it close versus Notre Dame at Notre Dame, but still Florida, I think look at the locker room of Florida. Those guys are jacked.
Yeah.
After these past couple wins, I don't know a more excited locker room celebrating victories. I think they're having fun. I think they've completely bought into what Dan Mullen's put in the juice for those guys down there at Florida. So I got to go with Florida. And then obviously they get the best linebacking coach in America, C-Rob, baby.
C-Rob.
C-Rob's going to make sure those linebackers are flying around everywhere. I like the Gators.
All right.
And I like them winning and covering with the points.
All right, so Aaron's laying the 7. Give me the 7. I know C-Rob, Christian Robinson, has that second level of the Florida defense playing at an all-time high, but you look at the line, and we always say on punt and pass, Vegas knows best. Why? Why on earth is Florida only a 7-point favorite? I wouldn't be shocked if this closes at a 6.5 or even a 6-point spread. Vanderbilt's tough to play at. You've mentioned that. It's dead. There's not a lot of people in there, especially at 11 a.m. local time. I think the suits in Vegas are banking on Felipe Franks to have a Felipe Franks game, not the game that he had against Mississippi State, not the game that he had against LSU. I think they're expecting Florida, a team with a new head coach, to reel back. And I think Vanderbilt has a real shot to win this game. I'm going with Kyle Shurmur. They got to believe because they know.
So you're saying they went outright.
I'm saying they went outright. They know that they played Georgia relatively well through two quarters. They botched the end of the first half. Georgia came out, adjusted, started the second half. It was over from there. If they can continue to move the ball, get first downs, and take care of the football, they'll be able to play with Florida. I'm just telling you that right now. Give me the points, and I'm saying Vanderbilt wins outright. That could be an outlandish prediction, but I'll look like a genius when it's validated. So I will be tuned. I will be tuned in to that game at noon. I like that game and the Tennessee-Auburn game. Two games that will have a lot of impact, I think, in the SEC. One more SEC game, Aaron, number 22, Texas A&M. You just got done talking to Jimbo Fisher on your Sirius SEC show. They're traveling to Columbia to play South Carolina. Texas A&M's a 2.5-point favorite. South Carolina beat Mizzou last week at home. Huge weather delay, sloppy conditions. I think if it was dry and there was no stoppage, I think Missouri rolls and beats them handily, but they got the W. They probably feeling pretty decent now. I got to roll with A&M here, though. They got Kellen Mond. They just beat Kentucky. They're back on the road. Jimbo Fisher, just listening to your interview with him, I like him even more now. He was human in that interview. He said he's working on trying to get Texas A&M to play at a championship level, and you know how you do that? You bring it every single week. So I'll lay the 2.5, and I'm taking Texas A&M.
I'm with you on that one. I like Texas A&M. What I'm going to be looking at when I watch this football game is how short of a leash does Jake Bentley have? I mean, we saw Skarnecki last week. I mean, he balled out in that football game. We talked about it earlier in the week. Jake Bentley just has not done well this entire season. 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Is he going to play? If he goes out there, I think the biggest line is, if he goes out there and plays mediocre, even if maybe has a turnover or two turnovers in that first half, do you put him on the bench then? I think you have to. I think you have to put him on the bench, put your backup in. I think the team feels confident, obviously, after a big win last week. But still, I like Texas A&M. I think they're playing tremendous on the offensive side of the football. I think defensively, you want to talk about a complete 180 from last year. We want to talk about soft defense last year. Not this year. They are physical.
Yeah, he has changed.
They're
the
dominant.
Culture.
And they look really, really good on the side of the football. So you talk about all the time, Drew, what travels? Defense travels and a run game travels. And right now they're playing great defense. They're running the ball extremely effective. So I like A&M. And I think they got a little bit of swagger. I think Jimbo is injected some swagger into that football team. So they're confident. But it's going to be a tough game. We always talk about tough environment. South Carolina is a tough environment. But I just don't think that team has confidence right now.
All right, two more games. Let's wrap this thing up. Both top 25 matchups. This game's at 3:30, so it's a noon kick local. Number 7, Washington, going to number 17, Oregon. This one's going to be in Autzen Stadium. You love Justin Herbert, Oregon's quarterback, and for a good reason. Washington, though, is a road favorite. Oregon is a home dog. Washington's giving 3 points. Jake Browning leading the Huskies. Miles Gaskin and Washington's defense, pretty stout as well. They need to keep it rolling if the Pac-12 has any chance of getting into the college football playoff. But, hey, man, Oregon botched that game against Stanford at home. They know what to do and what to avoid in order to finish a big-time football game and get a W.
I like Oregon in this game. Them at home, Washington's offense has been not great this season. Jake Browning has been making rookie type mistakes. So I like Oregon. I think it's going to be one thing. It's going to be a fun game. I think I'm always excited to see what the uniforms are going to be for Oregon. But Justin Herbert, hey, he's an absolute beast. And it was funny. We were talking on the show today to, I think it was from someone from Pro Football Talk. You know, the guys who do all the grades. Pro Football Focus. And obviously Herbert is right now the top guy coming out of this year for the NFL draft, you know, probably top five pick. They're saying that rumors are he's going to stay another season.
Okay, so here's my question to you, though. About the Pro Football Focus guys, like, what is this guy that you talk to just, does he just know analytics? Did he play football? Like, what is his qualifications for grading?
I don't know his
background.
I don't know, but it's just, that's their job. I mean, they break it down, they give ratings to everyone.
And they're saying Herbert's going to stay?
I mean, that's what they're saying. That's the rumor on the street. So my question is, I don't know. I got to figure this out myself. I just heard it 2 hours ago. But if he stays and you are Drew Butler, GM of whoever, and you're the number one pick in the draft and you need a quarterback, are you taking Herbert or are you taking Tua?
Oh, because they'll be able to come out the same
time. They'll be able to come out the same time.
That. Man, you know, yes. That's a great question. You know, Herbert's 6'6". That's those intangibles.
Arm,
he can throw
can
it.
Run.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm taking Herbert.
And especially now that Tua is in that spread offensive system, you know, it's not your typical Alabama under center pound the rock offense. I would have to go Herbert as well. I mean, historically, Pac-12 quarterbacks translate into the NFL better than SEC quarterbacks. I mean, besides the Manning brothers, really. I know Matthews had a great career also. You look at Pac-12 quarterbacks, guys who have been able to have a really good career, and then you look at the intangibles, 6'6", and you talk about his arm all the time, Aaron. This guy can do it all. I would go Herbert as well. I would be willing. That's a great question. Is Tua really, at this point, is he a top 10 pick, or is he a system quarterback? Should we start that rumor? Tua's system quarterback?
I don't know if we have enough time in this show to really start jumping into this. Well, I mean, who knows? Listen. And the interesting stat too was Tua was up there for stats of most yards after a catch. You know, his receivers, yes, their ability to catch a ball and then boom, take it for 60, 70 afterwards. I mean, he's right up there for quarterbacks that have that stat. So that just shows you, one, the talent obviously that he's working with at Alabama, offensive line, running back, receivers, not taking anything away from us. I'm all on the Tua train.
Oh, of course.
He's phenomenal, good for Tua, but like I said, if I'm a GM and I have the number one pick, is it going to be tough? Yes, but I'm still taking Justin Herbert with that pick. I think he has everything you want. And listen, I love the shorter quarterback. I love the Drew Breeses of the world because I am 6'1". But I still know.
Okay.
If I was 6'6", it would make my life a lot easier. I can tell you that.
True. Yes, that is very true. Tua is
make
listed.
My life a lot easier.
Tua is air quotes listed at 6'1", but
he's way shorter than 6'1".
Yeah, I know.
I stood by him in the natty. I was like, this kid is—he's small,
but
he is small. He's talented. He can spin it though.
He can definitely spin it. His stats right now are absolutely crazy. I saw on ESPN their little Heisman prediction. He was a unanimous first place vote getter. So, but I would agree. I agree with you, Aaron. I take Justin Herbert number one in an NFL draft over Tua if I'm a GM. And also, I agree with you in the fact that I love the home underdog here. I like Oregon getting 3 points. You mentioned Jake Browning not playing as well as he has in the past. I think Herbert and that Oregon offense can kind of expose and exploit Washington's defense, and I like them at home. So I'll take the 3 points there. Oregon wins outright. Our last game that we're going to talk about, it's another top 15 matchup in the Big Ten. Number 15, Wisconsin, heading to Ann Arbor to take on number 12, Michigan. Michigan is a 7.5-point favorite. And I was shocked that Michigan is ranked number 12. Shea Patterson, your boy, quietly having a pretty steady season up north in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Listen, they're doing well right now in Michigan. What are they, 5-1?
Yeah.
Wisconsin 4-1. They'll be a good game. You got Wisconsin. You got Jonathan Taylor back there. I mean, he's a beast. He is a man at the running back position. But if I'm Michigan, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put 7 in the box. I'm going to put 8 in the box.
Yeah,
I'm going to man up on the outside. Make Alex Hornibrook beat you throwing the football. It's at home. It's going to be crazy. I mean, what's that stadium? Hold 100 plus thousand?
Like 110.
It is going to be nuts. I like Michigan in this game. I think Wisconsin is going to be – I think they're going to struggle offensively. Like I said, I think Michigan knows, one, we have a very good defense. Wisconsin is extremely one-dimensional with their only really ability to run the football. Yes, they have a great offensive line, probably one of the best in the country. Yes, they probably have one of the best, if not the best, running back in the entire country with Jonathan Taylor. But you have a huge question mark back there at the quarterback. Alex Hornibrook, I don't think he can win a game if you trust in his arm to do it. So I got Michigan, and I got Michigan.
Minus 7.5 is what I have written down.
All right, I got Michigan 7.5.
All right, he's laying the points, and I go to one specific game this season when I think about number 15 Wisconsin going to number 12 Michigan. Wisconsin lost to BYU. I know it was in Utah, but they lost to BYU, and here's why. Because they contained Jonathan Taylor, like you just said, Aaron. He had 26 carries in that game for only 117 yards. So that's 4.5 per rush for him. Not going to get it done. Hornibrook, on the other hand, goes 18-28 and throws a pick. No touchdowns. Put this game into Alex Hornibrook's hands, and it tilts into Michigan's favor. My question on the Michigan side, though. Shea Patterson, of course. Remember that horrible start against Notre Dame. But also, Jim Harbaugh. I am not sold on Jim Harbaugh being that big game coach and being able to get his guys fired up and ready to execute a game plan when needed most. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Give me the points. I'll take Wisconsin plus 7.5. And I really don't know what's going to happen in this football game, but I can tell you with confidence it probably will not be that exciting to watch. It is a night game in Ann Arbor, and I know that these two teams have a lot to play for because they are competing to try to get into the Big Ten championship game. So, Aaron, I'm going to go against you. Give me the points. I'll take Wisconsin plus the 7.5, and who knows what happens. I don't understand how you could expect this to have fireworks and be some electric game. I don't even know why College Game Day is there. They should be at Georgia and LSU, where real football is played, in the SEC. Yeah, I said it. I said it, Aaron. That's where they should be. Also,
they should be, but CBS, my boys at CBS, are taking over.
I know. That's the truth. So it always comes down to dollars and cents. Dollars and cents. Quick factoid for you. Alabama's punter, Skylar DeLong, I just looked this up. They've played 6 games. He could still redshirt because they have not punted the past 2 games. He could still redshirt and transfer if he wanted to. If it's best for him,
let's not open that up again, Drew.
We won't. Anything
let's
on,
not get let's not open that again.
Anything on the way out, my man? What game are you covering this weekend?
No, I got Boise State at Nevada. Drew.
In
it's
Reno.
Not Nevada. It's Nevada.
The biggest little city.
Try not
the
to
world.
Piss anyone off in that state. Yeah, the biggest little city in the world, right? Is that
absolutely.
The same?
Absolutely, that's the same.
Reno, baby. Maybe I'll have some luck in the blackjack table.
Absolutely. Good luck to you on the table as well. Tune in to that game on CBS Sports Network. Again, follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. He is at Aaron Murray 11. I am at Drew Butler 13. For Aaron, I'm Drew. We'll talk to you on Monday. See you.